Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 25, verses 1 through 9. Hear, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The palace of foreigners is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you, for you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm and a shade from the heat. When the blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of the foreigners like heat in a dry place, you subdued the heat with the shade of the clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the covering that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces. The disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, see, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Thanks be to God.
This morning's New Testament scripture comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. This is Paul writing. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women. For they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things that you have learned and received and heard and noticed in me, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. May God bless and lend understanding to the reading of his word. Paul wrote it, and I repeat it. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I think the human condition has always been in a state of peril. Even when these words were written, I think we always are thinking, how can it come to this? Things just look impossibly bad, and I think they always have ever since the beginning of people. And perhaps right now it seems inappropriate to talk about excellent, pure, commendable things. The Middle East is at war. One might be tempted to look at Paul and say, easy for you to say. Paul, who wrote this, didn't have a TV. There was no social media Not even a radio to deliver horrible news of the vicious murder of thousands, the forced migration of over a million people, suffering people, and the seemingly endless bombing of targets, civilian and otherwise. Paul didn't know about nuclear weapons and didn't foresee there'd be a day when world leaders would have to be very careful to play their cards just right, or else it could cause mass casualties. Did you come to church to escape it all? So sorry to disappoint you. I'm nothing if not consistent. I've always told people when they're going through crises, when it's bad, it's bad. And right now, folks, it's bad. I have a preference that people don't sweep the horrific under the rug. I don't like it when people minimize tragedy or say, look on the bright side. We live in a country where we expect unlimited breadsticks. And there's an integrity when we stop and put down the unlimited breadsticks and instead sit with the uncomfortableness of unlimited tragedy. Only then can we finally admit with integrity it's bad. When it's bad, it's bad. We might be tempted to think that without all that electronic media that Paul enjoyed a comparative bliss, living ignorant of miserably painful information flowing from all the devices that are around him. But his life was not a bed of roses. Here's a sample of something he went through earlier in 2 Corinthians, written down. 5 times I've received from the Jews 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. 3 times I was shipwrecked. For a night and a day, I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers and sisters, in toil and in hardship, through many a sleepless night, hungry and thirsty, often without food, cold and naked. And besides other things, I'm under daily pressure because of my anxiety for all the churches. And this is not just the bad old days. He's writing this years later to the Philippians, most likely from Rome, where he had a kind of residence in prison for 2 years when he wrote this. He's in jail. And he's not even thinking about his own peril. He's thinking about Euodia and Syntyche, who are fighting it out with one another in the church that he loved in Philippi. And he writes, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind of the Lord. And I ask you, my loyal companion, help these women. He mentions, this is a side that I take advantage of every chance I get. He mentions that these women have brought the good news with Paul, have worked alongside him. And so I feel like it's a man's responsibility to speak up for women in ministry. Although this passage doesn't mention ordination or anything like that, these women were working right alongside Paul, and he considered them equal in the way he talks about them. And so I feel like it's a guy's job to tell you that women ought to be allowed in ministry. If you hear a woman say it, you say, oh, well, of course she says that. Well, I'm a guy and I'm telling you, women belong in ministry because of passages like this. That was an aside. I threw that one in for free. But unfortunately, these two women, as brilliantly as they've served, they're having a conflict right now. And he's beautifully not sweeping it under the rug. He's not hiding it. As I said, when it's bad, it's bad. Say so. He exhorts them to look for the good, even though he knows it's bad, in each other and everything. So we start at a place of honesty. When things are bad, we say so. And then from that place, we begin looking for whatever good we can find in this world. As Sting and the Police once sang, when the world is running down, you make the best of what's still around. James Brown, the Tammy Show, same tape I've had for years. Check that out sometimes, James Brown on the Tammy Show. You want to see how to dance? Well, I'd probably dislocate something trying to dance as he did. But anyway, brilliant performance. Paul is saying, yes, the world is running down, but God's still around. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. God is also near. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. God hasn't gone away just because it's bad. Just because we're not denying the bad doesn't mean we sent God away. God's still here. God has big shoulders. God handles and absorbs the bad. And so we say so in front of God. And we tell everyone. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known to God. So in other words, don't deny that it's bad. Instead, pray about it and take it to God. That's how to deal with tragedy and problems, which we all have, which humanity has always had. We take it to God. And if we do so, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's peace that you don't even understand. It's still bad out there, but you still feel a peace that only God can provide. Forgive me, I know I've used this illustration before elsewhere, perhaps here. My grandmother, when she was in her late 80s, went to visit my cousin in Germany, where they have the Autobahn. And my cousin had a Porsche and took her out on the Autobahn in a convertible, in the back seat. No speed limit then on the Autobahn. He took it up over 100 miles an hour with my grandma sitting back in the seat. My dear grandma, who never drove a car, was back there. And do you know what happened to her? Going with all that wind rushing around her and all that speed and all that danger in that tiny little Porsche, she fell asleep. Took a nap. She told him to go fast, by the way. She said, I think punch it was her exact words. She fell asleep. Talk about the peace that passes understanding. There is wind rushing all around you. There's danger everywhere. And she had the peace to fall asleep. She didn't have health problems. She lived for several more years. It was just, she's at peace with herself and her circumstances. That's how you can do that in a time of worry, in a time of trouble. You start praying and have peace even though everything else is bad around you. And there's assurance in that. You go to the one who loves you forever. And that's where peace comes from. My missiology professor, Dr. Scott Sundquist, not my favorite professor, I confess. He's now president of Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. But at the time, his one thing he said that I remember. He said every morning as he was watching his kids go out the door to get on the bus, to go to school, every morning, without fail, he would pull them aside and say, no matter what happens today, no matter what you do, I'm always going to love you. And he said, I hope that makes a difference in their lives. Because that's what God says to us. God doesn't like when we do bad things. God doesn't like us to make big mistakes, but God's still going to love us anyway through that. No matter what happens to you, no matter what you do, God is still going to love you, and there is peace in that. And when you feel tempted to worry, you just start connecting to that unconditional love that is there and always will be. Come hell or high water, it's always there. And so Paul encourages us to look for things that are good, to make the best of what's still around, things that are pleasing or commendable, excellence. If there's anything worthy of praise, think about it. As for the things you've learned and received and heard and noticed in Paul, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. Look to a Christian that you know and trust, and look at their lives and how they conduct themselves through life, and learn from them. All of this taken together is a recipe for peace of mind in seemingly impossible situations. I wish I could say this was just Paul's idea, but it's not. This is the consistent witness of Scripture. Even Isaiah was talking about such a thing. Isaiah was talking about a tumultuous time, a troubling time that Penny read. He's saying that the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all the faces. So Isaiah was writing at a time of tears everywhere. But that's God's job. As we cry, as we shed the tears, God is there to wipe away the tears. And the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. You see, that's why I like Scripture. That's why I like Isaiah. That's why I like Paul. They don't deny that things are bad, but they talk about a God who, even though things are bad, God is there to wipe away the tears. And just because it's bad right now, it doesn't mean it will always stay bad. Things we can count on, the sun will come up tomorrow. God is still in heaven, even if all's not right with the world. Paul also wrote, "For I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love." And then he mentions all kinds of bad things that can happen to us. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries for tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. God's love is constant and will never be shaken away, no matter what happens in the Middle East, no matter what happens to the economy, no matter what happens in your interpersonal life, no matter what happens in this church, God will continue to love you. God is still in heaven, even if all's not right with the world.